ज्ञानच बलंगस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकय अक्षोरुन्मुखितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयम्भूकृतामायं ददाति सपदन्तिकम् पञ्चकौपाकरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैतागदाधार श्रीवासदे गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center, and we're continuing the Jiva Dharma. And, you know, I think most of you have been on with me or are familiar with the book. We're following the life of people that come to Krishna consciousness, and according to their doubts, we learn the response by Raghunath Das Babaji, we learn the different touches or subjects of Krishna consciousness. And particularly for the last several chapters we've been following, and we'll follow this for the rest of the book, the life of one converted logician who becomes a devotee, who's now Vrajanath, and he has an attraction to renunciation, and his family are very resistant. But recently we see that he's met one uncle, and somehow in their conversation it becomes revealed to each other that they're both following the path of bhakti, which in Bengal at that time probably was not that prominent. The shaktis or the worship of Durga or the material energy, probably in the impersonalists, were more prominent. Anyway, him and his uncle, because he lives in Shantipur or something, but to see his guru, he has to visit Godrandweep. And he comes with Raghunath Das Babaji. Vrajanath and his uncle Vijay Kumar. They come, and Vrajanath introduces Vijay Kumar to his guru. And he asks a very important question: how do you attain the Piyojana, the goal? So when you ask, how do you attain the Piyojana, you're asking about the Abhideya. You're asking about the means. There's three subjects of the philosophy. Basically, Sambandha, which is metaphysics or a description of reality, and epistemology, the evidence you're using to ascertain what you're saying is true. And then there's the Abhideya, the means to understand reality. And then there's the Piyojana. So this is bhakti. So he's asking, he's not asking what the Piyojana is, how to attain the Piyojana, which is the means. He says that when you perform bhakti, what is the goal, the Piyojana, the ultimate aim, is when you perform bhakti that's free from karma and yet, free from any fruitive objective or any impersonal objective. Impersonal is also a desire. It's a desire for liberation. But it's a personal desire. The devotee doesn't even have the desire for liberation. The Dhanam, the Janam, the Sundarim, Kavitam, Va, Jagadisha, Kamaye, Mama Jamini, Jamaeshri, Bhavatat, Bhakta, Hoitiki. I don't care for the Dhanam, the Janam, follow as well, Sundarim, beautiful women. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. So I don't even care. Liberation means to be free from the cycle of birth and death. The devotee doesn't care. That's bhakti. Bhakti is this liking to serve, and that's all you like. All you like, your whole objective is love. Love of God to serve. Narayana Parasarve Nakutas Chanya Bibhyati Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Apitilya. One who is Narayana Parayana, one who has that love for God. Narayana Nakutas Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu. He doesn't care. Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu. Material world, heavenly planets. The earth, above, below, hell, all he wants is service. That's his single desire in the heart. That's what a pure devotee means. There's nothing else in the heart but this desire to serve. To serve to the highest degree. And there's nothing else in the heart besides this intense desire to serve. He said, that's the piyojana, and that is also the means. That's also the abhideya. That's also the means. To practice that, to want to serve, to follow the will of God, and that's your objective. So that's the means. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti causes bhakti. There's no other way to get bhakti by that. So, uttama bhakti, the practice of pure devotional service, and practice that is called sadhana bhakti, and the liberated stage, it's called prema bhakti. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Bhakti Lata Beach. When we meet a devotee, we get the seed of devotional service. It means that objective, that desire, that liking for bhakti, for service, to please. That's our objective. So we get some appreciation for that. It's a seed of prayer. And then we practice it. We do activities only for the pleasure of Krishna and for no other reason. So then Vijay Kumar asks, what are the intrinsic characteristics? There's the intrinsic characteristics, the sarup lakshana, or the tatastha lakshana, the sarup lakshana are the core characteristics, and the tatastha lakshana are the refining characteristics. But the refining characteristics, it's without any other desire. You can also be an impersonalist and have no other desire. Anyabhilashita shunya. You can be a Buddhist, have no other desire. It's a refining characteristic. It's not the core characteristic. So he describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he quotes Rupa Goswami, And now what will happen in the answers of Raghunath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does such an interesting thing. He incorporates into the dialogue a summary of the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then he incorporates into the dialogue the whole Ujjwala Nilamani, which is a kind of a commentary on the fifth wave of the Western Division about the bhavas that compose Madhurya Ras. So he describes the intrinsic characteristics of bhakti and bhakti rasa with the Sindhu. Raghunatha Babaji explains, and that's that famous verse, Anyabhilashita Shriyam Jnana Karma Dinavritam Anukulyena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakta Uttama. That Uttama Bhakti, the topmost bhakti, is when you perform activity, Shilanam, exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. Imagine that. When you love someone, you do activities only for their pleasure. You have no other motive yourself. So that's the core characteristic of this pure devotional service. It's only for Krishna. That's your intention. There's no motive in what you do or no desire for yourself. It's only love, real, intense love. You're overwhelmed with that sense of love, and you just want Krishna to be pleased. That's love. When you love someone, when you really love someone, your happiness is their happiness and you don't care about your own happiness. So that's the Sarup Lakshana. And those activities which are done exclusively for the benefit of Krishna, Anya Vilashita Shunya, they don't have any other motive. None. Zero. Anyabhilashita shunya, zero. Anyabhilash, other desires than the pleasure of Krishna is zero. Jnana karma dinabhritam, and it's not covered by jnana, the desire for liberation, or karma, reward seeking activities. And nothing else but the desire to please Krishna. And that desire is harmonious with who we actually are as the parts and parcels of Krishna. So he explains, this sutra very clearly describes both the Sarup Lakshana, intrinsic characteristics, and the Tattva Lakshana, extrinsic symptoms of bhakti. The word Uttama Bhakti refers to pure devotional service. Devotional service mixed with fruitive activity is karma, Mishra Bhakti. So it's a Uttama Bhakti means pure. The topmost love, Uttama Bhakti, the topmost love is not mixed with any personal desire. Therefore, Uttama Bhakti or transcendental bhakti or topmost bhakti means pure, because it's love. And when love is pure, there's no other desire but to please. And not devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge are not pure devotional service. Jnana Mishra Bhakti. The aim of devotional service mixed with fruitive activity, karma mishra bhakti, is sense gratification, and the aim of devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge, jnana mishra bhakti, is liberation. So jnana mishra bhakti, the mixed with the desire for knowledge, is to become liberated for yourself. And as we know from the story of Narada Muni, when he was a young boy and he got saksha darshan of Krishna, and then Krishna disappeared, and that was the most intensely pleasurable experience. We're still conditioned to think that sensual pleasure is the highest, or egotistical gratification is the highest, but actually the feeling of relationship with God is infinitely more pleasing. And that's what we want. And that's our our objective. That's our goal. Only such devotional service, free from any trace of desire, the putative results of liberation, is uttama bhakti. The pure topmost bhakti is not mixed with any personal desire. Therefore, it is pure bhakti. Topmost bhakti means pure bhakti. Pure means just bhakti, just the desire to please Krishna. The fruit of bhakti is prema. The sarup lakshana of bhakti is endeavors favorable for Krishna, Krishna anushilanam, performed with body, mind, and speech, and loving attitude of mind. Vyatamaya manasa. So he describes again the sarup lakshana, the core characteristic, is endeavors favorable for Krishna. What Krishna likes, we do. And with what? With our body and mind and speech. And not only with our body, mind, and speech, but with our hearts. Anukulyena. We desire to please. And such endeavors, chesta, such activities we do, and spiritual sentiments, bhavas, are both favorable, anukulye, and constantly dynamic. So both our attitude and what we do is pleasing to Krishna because it is done only with that intent. By the mercy of Krishna and his bhaktas, when the special function of the internal energy of Bhagavan manifests upon the jiva's own spiritual strength, then the true form sarupa of bhakti takes birth. So true bhakti happens by mercy of Krishna, then the internal potency of God, his potency, his close potency, his bhakti, his ladini shakti, his essence of, anyway, that energy, that existential energy of love, manifest upon the jiva's own spiritual strength. So basically, by that sincere surrender to Guru and Krishna, by that sincere desire to serve Guru and Krishna, then God's internal energy manifests upon that endeavor. It purifies that endeavor, and then real bhakti, the true form, the sarupa bhakti takes place. So it's a very interesting point. Real bhakti is not just our endeavor, but it's our endeavor which Krishna reciprocates with by enthusing us with his own spiritual potency, which becomes one with our mind. Just like you put an iron rod in fire, the iron rod becomes fire. So when we want to serve Krishna intensely, there is a connection with Krishna. Just like you plug in there may be a light bulb, there may be a switch, but you plug it in and there is Shakti or potency. So when we actually fully surrender to Krishna, Krishna Anu Shilanam, Anu means that our activities follow Krishna's by following the disciplic succession which carries the will of Krishna. And when we do that, somehow or other, our endeavor to please Krishna is carried up the disciplic succession and reposed at the lotus feet of Krishna in such a way that Krishna reciprocates with us, and a drop of his internal potency energizes our effort, and that is real bhakti. Real bhakti is our effort to serve Krishna, imbued with Krishna's potency of love that we are offering back to Krishna. In the present state, the jiva's body, mind, and speech are all materially afflicted. When the jiva directs them by his own discrimination, the result is only dry speculation and renunciation. So, very interesting point, that our body, our mind, we're all materially afflicted. And when we just try to serve by our own understanding, the result is not pure, and the true nature of bhakti doesn't manifest. However, when Krishna's Sarup Shakti becomes active in the jiva's body, mind, and speech, the nature of pure bhakti immediately becomes manifest. So pure bhakti is not just our endeavor, it's our endeavor imbued. Krishna reciprocating our endeavor and imbuing our consciousness, with his own potency. The ultimate aim of all spiritual activity is Sri Krishna, and that is why real devotional activity must be favorable towards Krishna. Endeavors performed for the realization of Brahma and Paramatma are not accepted as pure bhakti. Rather, they are aspects of speculative knowledge, jnana, and fruitive activities, karma, respectively. There are two types of endeavors, those that are favorable and those that are unfavorable. Only favorable activities are considered to be devotional service. And there are different commentaries on that, which explain that the demons fight with Krishna, and Krishna gets pleasure out of their activities, but it's not bhakti, because it's not done for the pleasure of Krishna. So bhakti is not just an activity that gives Krishna pleasure, like, for example, the demons are fighting with him. But real bhakti is an activity that's done with the intention of pleasing Krishna. And the real pleasure of any activity is love. It's the intention on which the activity is done to please someone. So it gives someone real pleasure out of any exchange is not just what is offered, but how it is offered, and the love behind the activity. The word anukuyena means the tendency to be favorably disposed towards Krishna. This tendency has some connection with the material world during the period of devotional practice, sadhana, kala. But in the liberated stage, siddha kala is utterly pure, free from any connection to the material world. The characteristics of bhakti are the same in both these stages. Therefore, the intrinsic characteristics of bhakti are endeavors for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness performed with favorable sentiments. There's activities done to please Krishna. And it's bhakti even in connection with the material world. That tendency that I love God, I love you, and I want to please you, and that's my only goal. That's what love is. While we are discussing the intrinsic characteristics of bhakti, it is also necessary to describe its extrinsic characteristics, the tattva-lakshana. Those are the refining characteristics, which may also be characteristics of something else, but they were refining without any desire, may be the characteristic of something else. But they're the refining characteristics. The first is having no other desires. And the second is that freedom from covering of jnan, karma, and such activities. Any ambition other than the desire for progress in bhakti goes against bhakti and comes in the category of other desires. Jnana, karma, yoga, and renunciation are said to be antagonistic to bhakti when they are strong enough to cover the heart. Therefore, pure bhakti may be described as the cultivation of activities that are favorably disposed to Sri Krishna, free from the above antagonistic dispositions. So, activities to please Krishna, free from antagonistic dispositions, things that are against. Then Vijay, what are the various distinctive characteristics of bhakti? So again, this is Babaji in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.17. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the following six special characteristics of bhakti. Kleshagni, Shubhadha, Moksha, Laguta, Krit, Sadulava, Sandrandana, Visheshatma, Sri Krishna, Karshani, Chitta, Kleshagni. She destroys all kinds of distress. Shubhada, she awards all kinds of good fortune. Moksha, Laguta, Krit, she makes Krit, the pleasure of impersonal liberation, appear Laguta, insignificant. Sadulabha, she is rarely achieved. Sandrandana Vishesha Atma, her nature is imbued with the most intense and superlative pleasure. Sri Krishna Akarshani, she is the sole means to attract Sri Krishna. So how does bhakti destroy distress? How does bhakti destroy distress? So kleshagni. So he says the first characteristic is kleshagni, destroy the kleshas. And now he describes there are three kinds of klesha distress. So bhakti, pure devotional service, destroys distress. What is it? It's sin, which is papa. Then sin in its seed form, which is papa bija, that's the desire for sin, and ignorance, avidya. So there's avidya, really that's the root cause. You're ignorant of your identity, you think you're the enjoyer and controller. Therefore you have developed various desires to enjoy. And then you commit those activities. So these are the three types of distress. Sinful activities is classified as patika, sinful, maha patika, very sinful, and atipatika, extremely sinful. All these are considered top. So there's different levels of sinful activity. So that's pop. So this is kleshagni. So the first is pop. People in whose heart Shuddha Bhakti is manifested are naturally not inclined to become involved in sinful activities. Papa. See, when you have Uttama Bhakti, then you don't have any selfish desires. So obviously, when you come to the platform of Uttama Bhakti, the klesha of pop, sinful activities, are destroyed. The desire to commit sins, which is called papa bija. So you commit the sin is papa. The desire to commit sin is called papa bija. It cannot remain in a heart filled with bhakti. When you really have bhakti in your heart, when you really have love of Godhead in your heart, there's nothing else that can be in that heart. When Shuddha Bhakti first dawns within the heart, the jiva understands very clearly, I am a servant of Krishna, and ignorance disappears altogether. So also, ignorance. Because what is ignorance? Ignorance is, I am not a devotee. That's ignorance. I am not a devotee. I'm not part of something greater. I'm not the anga, the part. I am the angi, the whole. I am not the anga, the servant of the body. I am the angi, the enjoyer of everything. When Shuddha Bhakti first dawns within the heart, the jiva understands very deeply, I am a servant of Krishna, and avidya or ignorance disappears immediately. This means that as Bhakti Devi, the goddess of Bhakti, spreads her effulgence, the darkness of papa, papa, bija, and avidya are expelled from one's heart. On the auspicious arrival of bhakti, all sorts of distress go far away. This is why bhakti is kleshagni. Okay, kleshagni is papa, papa, bija, and avidya. And when one has bhakti in his heart and has the real identity, I'm a servant of Krishna, there's no ignorance what to speak of sinful desire and sinful activities. Vijay, how is bhakti shubhada? Shubhada means auspiciousness. It gives auspiciousness. In this material world, all types of affection, all good qualities, and all the different types of pleasure are considered shubha or auspicious. So what is auspiciousness? Good qualities, various pleasures. So that is, one in whose heart pure bhakti is manifested is endowed with four qualities: humility, compassion, freedom from pride, and giving honor to others. Wow, so this is four qualities of one who has manifested pure bhakti. He is humble, compassionate, free from pride, and free from the desire for honor from others. For this reason, the whole world bestows affection upon him. So how is it auspicious? When your heart is pure. And naturally, in the pure heart, means there's no desire to control and enjoy. So the pure heart doesn't have that desire. So it can embrace its true nature as part and parcel of God and the servant of God and recognize something greater than oneself. So when you have pure bhakti, humility, compassion, freedom from pride, so for this reason, the whole world bestows affection upon him. So bhakti is auspicious because it creates so much love in the heart of one who is taken to bhakti. When you see a person who is truly humble, when you see a person who is truly humble and compassionate and no pride and giving honor to others, basically they're all a type of humility. Happy to accept the supremacy or victory of God. Bhakti is capable of giving all pleasures. If one desires, she can give material enjoyment, the happiness of merging into the impersonal Brahman, Nivishesha, Brahmashukha, and all kinds of mystic powers, siddhis, sense gratification. So bhakti is auspicious because when you have that love of God in your heart, like a magnet, you attract love. And the pleasure of bhakti is so great. It attracts Krishna's mercy, and Krishna can reciprocate in any way to make your life auspicious. So klesha agni shubhada destroys material, all material distress. And shubhada, it gives auspiciousness because it creates the heart of humility, which draws out all types of affection from all types of people. So he satisfies that bhakti is shubhada. Then Vijay, how does bhakti make even the pleasure of impersonal liberation seem insignificant? Moksha lugutakrit. Even a little love for the Supreme, Bhagavad Rati, if even a little love for the Supreme, Bhagavad Rati, has manifested in one's heart, dharma, religion, artha, economic development, commerce, sense gratification, and moksha liberation certainly appear insignificant. So how does it make the pleasure of liberation, moksha, laguta, krit, as it, very insignificant, because it is insignificant compared to the love of God. Everything is insignificant. Love is the greatest pleasure, and the pleasure of God is the greatest love. And when that enters one's heart, any previous experience in this world is so pale in comparison. So it really, the love of one, the heart of one who has uttama bhakti, makes every other endeavor, especially liberation, seem very insignificant. And why is it said that bhakti is rarely achieved? Sadulabha. Babaji, this matter should be understood carefully. Bhakti will remain elusive so long as one performs devotional service improperly, even if one practices in millions of different spiritual practices, is engaged. So, you won't get bhakti when you perform devotional service improperly and sincerely. Apart from that, Bhakti Devi satisfies the majority of people with only impersonal liberation. She does not give bhakti unless she sees that the practitioner is highly qualified. It is for these two reasons that bhakti is rarely achieved. The sadhana of cultivating jnana definitely leads one to liberation in the form of merging into the non-dual Brahman, which is the very form of knowledge. It is also easy to get material sense gratification by performing pious deeds like yoga and other sex activities. However, if one does not practice bhakti yoga, one cannot achieve bhakti to Sri Hari, even by performing millions of spiritual practices. Are there any questions so far? Any questions? Someone could just let me know that they were listening to the class.
Jai Maharaj, Sveti Krishna.
Okay, Rabbi. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
I hear? Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Chaitanya Priya, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. One or two more people say hello? Yes.
I have a question.
Okay, ask your question.
So, from the description that you have given of pure bhakti, that has so many requirements in order for it to be pure, I'm wondering what is it that I have been practicing for so many years that I have fallen short of even approaching pure bhakti? When you talk about the requirements, such as compassion, lack of pride, not desiring adulation from others, I can recognize two of those that I come up with. It's not a how question, but rather, do I then focus in on those two things that I have yet to remove from my consciousness?
I think we focus on surrender to Guru and Krishna. And those just come from doing that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that it's a goal. It's the practice on one level, but the practice will be effective to the degree that we practice without motive. And generally we do that by surrendering to Guru and Krishna, who will engage us properly and may even sanction some service that we are liking to do, not because of our love for Krishna, but because of our nature. But if we're doing it, if we're surrendered, then anything that we do, it's not initiated by our own desire. It's initiated by the pleasure of Krishna. So if our lives are guided by the pleasure of Krishna, then we'll have some semblance of pure devotional service, and these qualities will gradually manifest. But at the same time, utsahan nishtiyat daryat, that devotional service, we have to be tolerant, because what we're seeking to achieve is prema maharta mahan, which is the greatest value, the thing that has the most wealth, which is prema. So we shouldn't expect either that we can get that so cheaply. And it may take time of our practice and our prayers to actually come to the platform of uttama bhakti, of pure devotional service. But if we're surrendered to Guru and Krishna, and that becomes the guiding force of our life, that becomes the authority for what we do, then we're acting on a very high platform, and very soon our hearts will be purified.
Maharaj, can I share with you a recent experience I had where I thought I was following the desire of Guru and Krishna?
Yeah.
So I had a sudden opportunity to go in a direction that I had already given up, which is family life. And it was so foreign to me that I prayed to Guru and Krishna to ask them if this is their desire, because it wasn't something I was looking for at all. I see myself as in the stage of Vanaprastha, and I got the response. This is coming from Guru and Krishna, and I stepped forward with it, and then as time went on, I came to see various signs that brought up doubt and question, and then it revealed itself that the desire that I had was not going forward at all. And as I read the scriptures, especially my the Srimad Bhagavatam and the purports of Prabhupada, I read the book. Well, a specific book really helped me, which is called Surrender by Bhaktisiddhanta Swami. I became more and more clear, as if he was speaking to me directly, that this is not you. And for sure, the expectations was not fulfilled. Now, how could I be so wrong? So my question is, how could I be so wrong in the beginning? Was it just my desire was so intense to experience this, you know, like a leftover, let's say, material desire? And this is how I am now looking at it, that I was tested. Do I still want this thing after I've already given it up so many years ago? And it showed me that, no, I don't really need this thing at all. It would be a step backward. So my question is, I need a more refined or sure measure of interpreting what the message is.
You have to consult. Yeah.
Go ahead, Maharaj.
You have to consult others. Otherwise, our decisions can be very much mirrored in our can be very much mirrored in our own desires. So it's very healthy to put this to people we trust and accept that as Krishna's will.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go now.
Okay, everyone. So thank you all for coming. Bunch of culture through this second.